This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Yankees are monsters when it comes to attendance. I mean, they draw incredibly well. Like, rarely, if ever, will you see an attendance under 30,000. I don't even know if there was a game last year in which their attendance was under 30,000. So the Yankees have been an absolute juggernaut when it comes to attendance. And I get it. Like, one of the obvious things is that the Yankees have been really good for a really long time. They haven't been under 500 in a very long time. So I think the brand that they've created, they've always had the Yankee brand, but this level of always being good, even in a down year, has certainly helped them with that. But they are monsters when it comes to attendance.
They've also tricked tourists in New York that go, I got to go to Yankee Stadium, not fully understanding it's not the same Yankee Stadium.
Look, I know that that is a common refrain. I've heard people say that about Barclays.
And I love the new park, but still.
People have said it about Barclays Center as well. Like, who's actually there? It's tourists, Madison Square Garden. Whoever's there, I can't tell you. I'm not doing a poll on everyone in the building. All I can tell you is that the Garden is sold out every night. All I can tell you is the Yankees are drawing 40,000 people a night. Last year, they averaged 40,000 people. They were number one in attendance in the American League. They drew 3.3 million people. The Mets have drawn over 3 million people at Citi Field only one time. Now, I understand that there's a greater amount of people in Yankee Stadium, so your sellout can bring that number up a little bit. But I asked a question before we went to break. I wanted to see if you guys could figure this out. When was the last year where the New York Mets outdrew the New York Yankees? So I asked you to write it down. Did you write it down, Sean?
I typed it out, but I'll rewrite it down for you.
Okay. Tommy, did you write it down?
I wrote it down in my head.
Oh, in your head. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll let you go first. Tell me the year, the last time. And please, I hope you didn't look it up because that would ruin the whole game. The last time the Mets outdrew the Yankees.
Well, if I did look it up, I wouldn't tell you. The last time the Mets outdrew the Yankees was 1987.
1987. How about you, Sean?
Paper I'm holding up to you says what, Evan?
1992.
Okay.
The correct answer is 1992.
Bang. Bang.
And what's funny about 1992 is that was the last time the Yankees finished under 500.
That's why I guessed it.
Is that why you guessed it?
Yes.
And by the way, that
you
year...
You know what? I leaned on the documentary in Peacock. I was going back to those early 90s years. And I said it's the last time they finished under 500.
So
I'm a fat moron.
1992 was the last time the Yankees finished under 500. The Mets had a terrible year, too, by the way. That was the worst team money could buy. And the Mets edged them out in attendance. It edged them. But the Mets actually had a run. You always hear this talk how the Mets owned New York, which I find very difficult to believe as someone who never saw it happen, but I'm lectured about it, so it must be true. The Mets outdrew the Yankees every single year between 1984 and 1992. So they actually owned New York when it came to attendance for that little time period of 8 years, the height of the Mets' success. And then as soon as it kind of went to hell in a handbasket in the early 90s, the Yankees retook the lead. They never looked back.
Think about it. There were so many people. They had to have those big bars locking you in those box seats at Shea Stadium.
Weren't they awesome, though?
Oh, yeah.
I love those big bars.
And I think Khan's hot dogs were big back then. That was a big draw.
It's a different world. I understand. 1992 is a million years ago. But the Yankees have taken control of that attendance, and they've beaten the Mets by a lot every single year. It's not like it's particularly close.
Yeah. Evan, I'm curious, because I know you voted on this at the beginning of the year, and obviously everybody's going to vote for their own wishes and what works for you. But if Steve Cohen is that upset about a series with Washington and the pennant races in September, don't you think 6:30 starts during the school year would help?
I don't know. It's a great question. The reason I don't think it would is because the Mets send out polls every year asking, what is your preferred start time? And one of the things we did see the Mets change is Saturdays. Like, they don't play as many Saturday, or at least last year, they didn't play any Saturday night games.
Right.
And I think that changed a little bit this year. So they ask people what they think. And I remember when they put that poll out a year ago, 6:30, 7, 7:30, and 8 were all the options. And I think if they thought 6:30 would make a difference, they'd make the change.
Well,
But they haven't. So I guess they feel 7 o'clock is still the sweet spot.
Did they send that to just season ticket holders, though?
Season ticket holders, yeah.
Okay, so don't you think that's a little bit of a skewed poll? And I know you should take care of the people that are spending that money, but if you're trying to draw more people in than the people that have already spent the money, I think that's what a fair question would ask.
You know, it's a great question. I would think that the Mets and the Yankees, who both have the same start time, 7:10, 7:05, essentially the same thing, I would think that their research tells them that moving that start time up or back wouldn't make a big difference. Because if it did, they would do it.
Do you genuinely think
it would make a difference?
It's not that I think or I don't. I know that I loved the 1 year the Yankees had 6:30 starts.
They did it in April and May.
Right. And I think it was just for the 1 year.
And what happened?
I guess they must not have drawn well.
Yeah, like, clearly, because they got rid of it after 1 year, 2 years.
I understand that's clearly where it happens. I'm just saying, if you're going to be an owner that screams from the mountaintops that you want to draw people in beyond the people that have already spent money on the season tickets, you know, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again. You know, you're unhappy with September pennant race stuff. What is another change you can make other than that?
Yeah, I think they would if they thought it would make a difference, to be perfectly honest with you.
All right.
And I don't think it's the start times. I mean, you hear people, and we'll get back to your calls in a second, a lot of it is price and inconvenience. That those are the things that really jump out at you. I'll tell you one thing that it's so weird because I come up with these reasons, but then I ask myself, what about the Yankees, since they're drawing so well? Like, one of the things that would jump out at me, and we notice this working in the city every single day, there are less people in the city.
That's true.
Like, Fridays, nobody's around. And you would think that in the past, going to a game felt like the perfect thing to do after you went to work on a Friday. But obviously, that doesn't affect the Knicks or the Yankees.
I wonder if this is also going to screw these teams as congesting pricing this year.
You never know.
More people hybrid working from home, less cars available to go to the games. Oh, boy.
Certainly a possibility. Let's go to Jimmy in Sayville. What's up, Jimmy?
Yeah, Evan.
What's up?
Nice to talk to you again. Big fan, been a fan since Soupy Sales. I'd like to bring out two quick points, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Point number one, who fills Cohen's pockets? We do. And I agree with everything that all the other callers said as far as you got to pay the price, you got to pay the parking, you got to pay for the concessions, you got to pay. It's crazy. I was a season ticket holder in 1987. I could never afford to do that again. Not only that, but I couldn't be able to go to 21 games, 22 games out of the year. Never mind 81.
That's the problem. Jimmy, and I agree with you, and I think it's much easier in 2025 to say, hey, I can't go to a game. I'll go to a legal website and sell them. In 1987, if you couldn't go to a game, how are you getting rid of tickets? I'll tell you. And there's a 30% chance you were going to get arrested doing it. You had to, the term was, I don't even know if it's allowed anymore, but the term is scalping.
Right. Called a ticket scalper.
Ticket scalping.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. And so how else were you getting rid of tickets? There wasn't even a Craigslist that you can go to. So
what a rush that was when we were younger watching your dad do that.
My dad got arrested once, though.
Did he really?
Yes.
As the seller?
He needed to get rid of tickets.
And they put him in cuffs?
I think they put him in, I forget how it ended. I think he got out of it, but.
Oh, my God.
Well, what was he supposed to do?
He was doing the right thing.
I know. Now it's a lot easier. Just go on SeatGeek. It's good to go. I got to go to this guy because his subject is how dumb are WFA and hosts?
Oh, he listens to the Luke Hour.
Before we get to him, do you think he's referring to Tommy, me, you, or someone else? Your guess.
I'm going to go Tommy.
I'm going to go with me. Is that too egotistical of me to think he thinks I'm the dumb one?
You don't get enough shots from callers, so I'm going to hope it's you.
You're going to hope it's me?
Yeah.
All right, Jim in West Harrison, New York. Which FA and host specifically were you talking about being dumb?
Well, we got Trim V and Trim Me Dumb. Trim Me Dumb is the ball-headed, you know what? You know, when we paid for Soto, they hit $800 million. That's not paid in day one. That's paid over 15 years. So I think the guy is worth $25 billion to afford to pay that over 15 years. Now, for the other guy.
Yes, the other guy.
Who's, who, who's the son of an accountant.
Yes, CPA.
What do you mean,
CPA,
what do you mean that? What do you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
So what do you mean? So what do you mean when he says when you say that he's taking the money out of his pocket? So when he bought the Mets, did he not spend $2.5 billion out of his pocket? Did he pay that out of his pocket?
What I mean is, when he spends money on payroll and he's not owning a team that brings in a lot of revenue, he ends up actually losing money owning the New York Mets, something that is not the case with the...
You're wrong.
Am I wrong? Prove it.
You're wrong.
Prove it.
Okay, what is the worth of the Mets now?
A couple of billion dollars.
Probably like $4 or $5 billion.
Okay.
So there's $2.5 billion that he put in there. If he wants to sell the Mets today, he's going to make a huge profit.
Okay, I agree
so
with that.
How do you say he's losing money? So how is he losing
because
money?
Because
his investment is going up.
No, no.
His investment is going up, knucklehead. His investment is going up.
You just call me a knucklehead.
Is going up.
But that's not liquid cash.
No, no.
That's
the other knucklehead. The ball-headed douche. The bald-headed douche.
Don't call him a bald-headed
douche. That's a terrible thing to say about Sal.
You're funny. Listen, the value of the Mets is going up, but on a year-to-year basis, they're losing money, and he's spending his own money to invest in players. Now, if he decided to sell the team tomorrow, would he make more money than what he paid for the team? Sure, but he's not selling the team
That's
tomorrow.
That's exactly it. The value is not the same as liquid. He reached into his own pocket of cash.
I do think he made a better point calling you an idiot than me an idiot.
Well, I was confused at the beginning. Was I Tweedledum?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
You're the quote-unquote bald-headed
Here's
douche.
The problem. I give him credit for not going with the fat thing and like going bald and douche and all that.
Yeah.
But like half our hosts are bald. So
that's true.
I didn't know why not directing me.
Would you go half? I wouldn't say half. Like Keith isn't bald. Big Mac isn't bald.
Okay.
Gio isn't bald.
Okay.
Boomer isn't bald.
All right.
I'm not bald. And so that's five. Okay.
Tiki?
I got it, but we're at five.
Okay.
Tiki's bald. Sal is bald.
Uh-huh.
BT is bald. Are we calling Al Dukes a host? He doesn't do that.
He does 5 o'clock.
Al Dukes is bald. That's 5 and 4. And if we're including Al, we got to include Jerry, who has hair. 60% of our main everyday. Who am I not including?
Me.
Oh, crap. I forgot about you.
Sitting right here with you.
Damn it. 6'5".
Okay. So that's half.
No, you're right. That's half. That's a good
so
point.
So when you go bald-headed douche, you're talking about anybody.
Yeah, it's about half. It's about half our on-air staff. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the Toronto Blue Jays could not agree on a contract extension. They were going to negotiate until the start of spring training. They did. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. confirmed that earlier today, was asked if they were ever close on an extension, and his one-word answer said it all. No. So he was pretty blunt about it. But now that there won't be a contract extension, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s name is going to be mentioned a lot. For two reasons. Number one, if the Blue Jays fall out of it, they may well trade him before the trade deadline. And then number two, he's going to be one of those elite-level free agents that hit the market a year from now. Now, let's start with the Mets. Steve Cohen earlier today was asked about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and his availability next year, and he answered it this way.
Yeah, he's a great ball player. And once again, I'll worry about that next year. Obviously with payroll considerations you really can't have, you can't have too many long-term contracts because then you lose your roster flexibility. So you got to be really careful. But I'll let my baseball people make that decision.
So code for, guys, you pigs. I'm not giving you Vlad too. I mean, forget the attendance thing like we talked about earlier. That goes without saying. But come on, guys. I've already got you Lindor long-term. I got you Soto long-term. It's not happening. And so I took that answer as a sign that it is very unlikely that Tommy is going to get what he wants, that Sal is going to get what he wants. And by the way, I'm not anti-Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I'll make my opinion on him clear in a few minutes, but let's just get this out of the way. I think Steve Cohen basically told us, yeah, that's not happening.
If we're taking him at face value, then that's ridiculous. You can't in one breath say, I want more people to show up to the ballpark, and then in the next breath say, well, we're not going to sign this great player. By signing great players, you are drawing more fans to the stands.
You are spoiled.
Yeah, he's a spoiled Mets fan.
Did you hear that?
We have our first sign of a spoiled Mets fan.
Yeah.
Steve Cohen, and I quote in the cut we played earlier, it's a fun time to be at Citi Field. With all due respect, Steve Cohen, you're watching grass grow and guys chew, sunflower seeds. It's a baseball game. So what makes it exciting is by having... He's acting like you're going to Vegas to have a good time.
It's fun. There's... stuff going on in between innings.
That's annoying.
So much for being positive about the Mets.
Well,
I mean, basically, you said it's the most boring experience.
No, what I'm trying to say is in one breath, you can't say, I want people at the ballpark, and then in the next breath say, well, I'm not going to sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. You get more people to the games by having superstar star power
they
and great teams.
They have star players. They have an MVP caliber player in Lindor, almost won it last year, and they've got one of the great hitters of our generation in Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Like,
and
you're kind of being spoiled brat.
You're damn right. That's what it's when you're big brother, you're spoiled.
You're right.
Want.
It's the evil empire.
But wouldn't you want Pete to just be the all-time Mets home run hitter and not be pushed out by Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
He won't be pushed out. He could be the DH next year, and Vladdy could be the first base.
So, look, I don't know how realistic that is, considering Pete Alonso's making $30 million this year, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., when he said he was far apart with the Blue Jays, he was probably asking for $400 million. He's asking for $35, $40 million a year. I want to answer it this way about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., because I think it's very, very complicated. I don't think it's as simple as who's better, Pete Alonso or Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I think that answer, based on age, based on defense, based on really the way they've projected over the last couple of years, the answer is obviously Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I'm not arguing that. But here's what I would argue. Value matters. Flexibility matters.
Yeah.
How much you're paying a certain player versus not paying a certain player and having the room to buy other players matters. If you're asking me, and by the way, if you look at the last 4 years of Pete Alonso and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., not just last year, but the last 4 years, you would see that Alonso's had 2 years that were better and Vlad has had 2 years that were better. Those are the facts. In 2023, Pete Alonso had a better year than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I don't know how anyone could argue that. You want to look at war, you want to look at home runs, you want to look at OPS, whatever metric you want to look at, Pete was better in 2023. Last year, Vlad was far better. No argument there. In 2022, it was close, but Pete Alonso was better then too. So they've been comparable over the last 4 years, but with that saying, I still would prefer Vlad. He's younger, higher upside. But if you've got to pay one guy a 10-year, $400 million contract, and you pay the other guy, let's say, 3 years, 90, because I'm not convinced Pete, even off a good year, is going to be able to get this mega contract. Now you got to incorporate value. And when it comes to that, yes, I'd prefer Pete Alonso over Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and that doesn't have anything to do with home run records or homegrown. It has to do with value. Steve Cohen just told you. How many guys can we give 10-year contracts to?
And remember this, and this is the one thing that would dissuade me right away from Vlad Guerrero Jr. It's great to live in the moment. The more and more you go with these rosters and the long-term deals, is Juan Soto eventually picking up a first base glove or turning into a DH? Because I got news for you. Vlad Guerrero Jr. already busted his ass once in his career to lose a ton of weight to make sure he stayed in that field. Once he gets that money, I have major, major worries about whether he is not going to be a DH sooner rather than later.
You're right.
That would bother me from both the Soto perspective and, if we talked about the Yankees.
That's why when people frame it as Guerrero versus Pete Alonso, that's not fair. You got to frame it as Guerrero on a 10-year deal versus Pete on a 3-year deal. Because I think I'm just being realistic on what they may get in the open market. And maybe I'm off by a little bit, but I don't think Pete's ever getting this mega long-term contract. I think he's going to have to settle for 3-4-year deals, maybe with opt-outs mixed in. We'll see about Vlad, but I think Vlad, because of his age, may demand a 10-year contract and get it in the open market. So if we are being fair about this, it's Vlad on that contract versus Pete on a shorter contract. Now I framed it in a correct way. Who would you prefer, Tommy? And you can't say both.
Why can't I say both?
Because I don't think that's realistic. Daddy just told you better show up to Citi Field, and your answer was, I speak into a microphone. Yeah,
but I work too much.
What I would say if Steve Cohen was my daddy, I'd be like, but Daddy, you've worked this hard, so we can do both. We could go to Disney and Paris. It doesn't have to be
Tommy,
or.
If it is an and or, and I'm giving you what I think is realistic contracts they're going to get in free agency, which would you prefer?
Now you're asking me to pick between my head and my heart, because you know how I feel about Pete Alonso emotionally.
Forget the heart! So, use your head! So, the head still says Alonso!
And the right head.
Easy, Tiger. Yes, it would be Pete. But I still would
not
like
not because
it to be,
he's better.
No,
so
because,
no, let's not cut this and make it something it's not. It is value.
I understand the value, but I thought we got rid of the value meal when the Wilpons sold the team.
Oh, come on. They've got a three.
Boy.
Evan.
I love you, bro. You're a pig.
I you're damn right, and I waited 40 friggin' years to be a pig, and now I'm a pig for a year or two, and you're telling me I'm full? I got a full belly here. I could eat.
Say it, honey.
Marash is 8 for years. You know this, Sean. I always mock you guys at the your Christmas
literally
list.
Or figuratively?
At the end of the year, a Yankee fan, you know, sign Barry Bonds, dig up the Babe, add this, add this, add this. And you know why? There's fannies and seats because of it. Because you do spend and you do add those players.
But we've never spent $800 million. You spent enough for three players and one player. That changes things. The Yankees still haven't done that.
And I think we'd all agree that Juan Soto was preferred over Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Sure.
Yes. I think they made the right choice in that regard. So
from that regard,
we're going to find out in a year, but
at
I'm telling
Soto
you
Soto already lost the weight that he had gained.
He put it off immediately.
Fat.
We'll kind of find out in a year. I'm telling you right now, the Mets are not getting Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And I think that Steve Cohen made it clear. But you know what? We like to make long-term predictions on this radio show.
Without
Tiki. Tiki missed it. He's meeting with the president today. 3:12 p.m. on February 18th in 2026. What team is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. playing for? Sean Morash.
The San Francisco Giants.
Wow. Someone's actually going to agree to play baseball in San Francisco, California. I know Willie Adames has, but
I know.
Another guy has. Tommy Lugauer, I know your answer, but let's just make it official.
The Mets.
Evan Roberts, that's me. Hey, Jet, can you turn the microphone on for a second? Oh, he doesn't know how to do that. There you go. Very good. Look at you. Press it harder. Bang. Not harder. Can you turn his mic on for me?
Do you work in engineering or not?
No, it's not working. Like, I
think
see
that mic doesn't work.
Oh, come over here. Come here with that.
Perfect timing.
Jet, I want you to name any baseball team in the sport. We're trying to predict where this really good player, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., is going to go. So, in your opinion, what baseball team will he play for in 2026? You can name any team you want.
Red Sox.
Good job. Thank you, Jet.
Time for another Evan and Tiki long-term bet.
Yeah, I agree with him. It's the Red Sox.
Did you?
I didn't even tell
the car ride in.
No, I swear.
He just blurts out Red Sox, knows they might have an opening.
That's the team. That would be my prediction. I'm so happy.
Like son right there.
Yeah.
How about that? Good job, Jet.
I think it's going to be the Red Sox, but let's get to the Yankees and the Red Sox for a quick second. We'll get back to your calls here. Here's the predicament. If the Blue Jays fall out of it, which I'm not sure they are. I like their pitching staff. I think they have a chance to be good. If they're in it, they're not trading Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Correct. They're going to go for it one more time with him.
Okay. If they fall out of it and they sell him off, would the Blue Jays have the stomach to trade him inside the American League East to the Boston Red Sox or the New York Yankees? And the way it would make sense for the Yankees is if Stanton is seriously hurt or if Paul Goldschmidt's a complete utter failure.
Right.
Obviously, right now, they would not have an obvious opening unless they move Vlad back to third base for a year, which I do not think is a terrible idea. Imagine that lineup if you could stick Vlad in it.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
He's played third base before.
Yes.
I would lean towards know that the Blue Jays wouldn't have the stomach to do it, but in free agency next year, I think the Yankees make a ton of sense. Goldschmidt's going to be gone in all likelihood. Cody Bellinger has a chance to be gone, so you're talking about clearing close to $40 million. You're a year closer to the end of DJ LeMahieu and Giancarlo Stanton, and so here's another building block for you offensively for the next decade.
Well, there's two things at hand here. Number one, as far as would the Blue Jays trade in division? I think they're trading to whoever the highest bidder is, because if we've learned anything about this offseason, it's that no free agent wants to sign in Toronto long term. So if I'm them, I got to get a hold of whatever prospects I'm getting. That's number one. Number two, financially, Vlad Guerrero Jr. and the Yankees will and can be a match. But like I just told you a little while ago, I just see a guy that is going to be a DH sooner rather than later. And the beauty when Giancarlo is done here is the idea of flexibility. And where is Aaron Judge's long-term projection on this team? Is he going to be a DH? Is he going to be a first baseman? I am just in favor of making the team more flexible, forget financially, but in the field and at those positions where Vlad Guerrero Jr. worries me. I understand all the Dodger stuff. Murakami, to me, little, you know, whatever, younger, doesn't seem as fat at times. I think him.
Doesn't seem as fat.
Also,
why are you fat-shaming Vlad Guerrero Jr.? You've said that like seven
that
times
whole,
during this discussion.
That whole getting his rump in shape thing. He feels, I know an eater when I see one, and I'm an eater. Also, look, if I'm the Yankees, I'm all in on Kyle Tucker this offseason. And if the Cubs sign him and you're out on him, okay, then maybe I pivot. But if I'm looking to spend the most amount of money, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is probably number three on my list, and I'm going to be worried about that long term, about where he's playing.
I still can't believe that I randomly put the mic in front of my son, and he actually picked the team.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team that I'm predicting Vlad Guerrero Jr. to go to.
I don't trust these Roberts at all. I don't know what's going on here.
As a free agent, I don't think he'll be traded. I think the Blue Jays are going to be in it. I don't think they're going to deal him off. So I think he'll finish the year in Toronto, and I think they're going to try to re-sign him. The problem is, like you mentioned, everyone says no to the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. going to be the difference? Let's go to Mo in Brooklyn. How are you, Mo?
Evan, I don't understand. Because Cone said what he said, you think the door is shut?
I think it is very unlikely they would sign Guerrero considering the long-term deals they've already committed. Yes.
What if he would have said something along the terms as, I love that, Brad. I can't wait that opportunity comes up. What kind of negotiations do you think we'd have?
No, I agree. I don't think he would have said that, but I'm saying he also brought up, which he didn't have to, hey, how many long-term contracts can a team have? And he's kind of right about that. So
I think that's to damper it down to pay respect to the players that are on the team now.
Maybe.
Because I think if Pete has a bad year and he opts out, what are we going
to
do?
I think there's a lot of caveats to that, Mo. It's a very fair question. What if Pete Alonso continues to decline? There's no guarantee he's back. I think there are other ways they could go. They could go after Murakami. Mm-hmm. But then again, that's another long-term contract. Or I'll throw a boring one at you. But it's also realistic. And sometimes I got to be the boring guy because it's realistic. What if Ryan Clifford tears it up in the minor leagues? Clifford's one of the better prospects in the system. He projects as a first baseman. He plays first base outfield. Like, if the Mets are really high on Ryan Clifford, and Steve Cohen talked a lot about the farm system and developing his own guys, if they are believing that they've got their alternative in the minor leagues right now, then they're not buying anybody. Look, Juan Soto was the perfect guy to go after because he is, I know it's an overused term, but it's true, generational, based on age, ability, everything that goes along with it.
Yeah.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is a wonderful ball player. He's not that.
I agree.
And that's not me crapping on him. I think he's a wonderful baseball player. He's not that. And so I take Steve's words and the long-term contracts they've handed out and the fact he said numerous times, I'd like to be under the Cohen tax, that no, they're not going to spend $400 million on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just because some Met fans think we're the king of the town now.
But this is the dangerous part about Steve Cohen's comments, and you can go back, obviously, on the Odyssey app and hit rewind to the top of the show where we played some of them basically threatening fans, you better show up. Let's say the Mets do have an unbelievable attendance year.
Mm-hmm.
They sell out 60 of their 81 games. You know, Met fans, if they're hearing this from the owner, are going to look for something else in return next offseason. And if you're not going to get Vlad Guerrero Jr., you can't ask the fans to show up and then not spend on a big ticket next offseason.
Let's go to Mark in Yorktown Heights. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, Evan. Hey, guys. A couple comments about the attendance situation. I'm a Yankee fan, but I remember in like the late 90s when they were good, the stadium was empty a lot of the nights. And talking about in the summer, 25, 30,000 people, which is nothing compared to how it was after that. So, like I think someone said, it takes time to build a brand again.
100%. 100%. The Yankees didn't really break through with attendance until about 98, 99, which is the middle of the dynasty. But at the beginning of the dynasty, they didn't draw very well in 96 and 97. You're right. You're right.
So, second, and then a question for you. Second thing, Cohen's a little out of touch. I mean, people have other bills. People want to go on vacation this summer. They can't afford five, six Met games. So I think he comes off a little out of touch there. I didn't really like that comment from him.
But
felt like it came. You know, why doesn't he give out more bobbleheads for everybody? Why doesn't he give more giveaways?
He is. I think they have nine bobbleheads this season. I'm not even kidding you. I think they've amped up the giveaways.
And that last series versus Washington this year, two giveaways in one weekend.
That's right. They are amping it up because they know there's a big difference. You know, he mentions the Yankee attendance. I'll never forget this in the mid-90s. When the Yankees weren't drawing well as they were getting back to relevance by making the playoffs year after year and winning the World Series in 96, remember what the talk was? You guys remember the talk around here?
Move them to Jersey?
Move them to Jersey.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Tiki'd be an even bigger Yankee fan.
It's so true. Think about how foreign that concept is. And yet that was a real thing.
That might have got me to flip.
What do you mean? If the Yankees got a brand new stadium, let's say near the Meadowlands or in that Meadowlands area, kind of like what they have in Philly, you would have left the Yankees?
Got to remember the time we're talking about. I fell in love with the Yankees 1994. I'm 7 years old. If they have plans to move to Jersey there, my dad might have been angry. I would have went to way less games growing up. The Mets play on the Long Island side of the river. There's a chance they might have lost me. I might have been a Met fan.
That's crazy. Yeah, they were looking at a stadium in New Jersey, in the Meadowlands.
Then again, I went to Jersey Net game, so who am I kidding?
And you go to Jersey Giant games.
But I hate it more and more. The older I get, I don't want to sit on the freaking George Washington Bridge. It sucks.
Imagine that. They play in the Meadowlands, which at the time is the same location for two of your other favorite
teams. I'm like, I'm drawing a line with baseball.
I'm done. I'm going to root for the Mets.
All right. Who am I kidding?
Chris is up in Michigan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Evan, Professor Morash. How are you guys doing?
Hey, what's going on,
Excellent.
Chris?
What's up, man?
So I cannot wait to listen to the Spencer Torkelson podcast with Jet Roberts. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be amazing.
All right. So a lot of the things that I was on hold, what I wanted to say about the Mets attendance and stuff, it's already kind of been said. There's two teams in town. You know, the Yankees are obviously the bigger brand. But the thing that I didn't hear really a whole lot of that I want to kind of say is consistency. We, you know, it took forever, literally forever, to see this team make the playoffs 2 years in a row. We need to start doing that. And you guys, it's consistency. I see it here. I know there's only one team in Michigan. But when the Tigers were really, really good and relevant, and it should have been 06, we should have seen the Mets and Tigers in the World Series. That was my dream. We were so close. But that team and that stretch, they were selling out on Wednesday nights. They were selling out on Thursday afternoons. And they didn't have a huge payroll, but they were good and they were consistent. And this team can do that. And I think that's what you got to see. And, yeah, I mean, it's probably going to take time. And Cohen doesn't really maybe want to hear that. But at the same time, you get good. You're going to get more people, you know, that just go for the Yankee brand, perhaps. I'm not saying they're all tourists.
But to your point, Chris, if they make the playoffs this year, which is the goal, I mean, anything short of that will be a massive disappointment. Steve said that. I completely agree. You lose in the first round, I'll be upset. It happens. You got to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
That is the bare minimum. But if you make the playoffs in back-to-back years for only the third time in the franchise's history, and then let's say you make it again next year and it becomes an every-year thing, then, yeah, you would figure that that brand gets only stronger and the attendance numbers remain very consistent.
It's amazing looking at these attendance numbers. The freaking Rockies outdrew the Mets last year.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Well, they were 18th in attendance. That means 17 other teams drew
better.
But the
Rockies suck.
I get you.
All right.
You want me to try to explain that to you?
Downtown stadium?
I've never been to the stadium, but it looks nice.
Okay.
Gary in Waterbury. Hey, Gary.
Yo.
Whoa.
Thanks, Loogie, for taking the call.
Of course.
Yo, it's G-Makes repping Watertown, Connecticut, the home of Rico Bronya.
Yeah, that's right.
Watertown, CT.
That's right. That's right.
All right. The Mets didn't even win the division last year. So, come on. They didn't even win the division. The Yanks are still the big brothers.
Of course.
In the town. We're still the big brother.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a Gar-Loogie debate series right now. Gary is upset with Tommy. Tommy over and over again calls the Mets big brother. Mm-hmm. Gary's reminding Tommy they didn't even win the division last year. So you two can go at it now. Go ahead.
Gary, if what I say doesn't bother you and the rest of your Yankee brethren, it bothers you. So there's obviously an ounce of truth to it. Because if it didn't, it wouldn't bother you. That's number one. Number two, what does winning a division have to do with anything? This is not 1996. Everybody gets in the postseason. All that matters is how far you go in the postseason. And last I checked, the Mets pushed the Dodgers.
No.
You play in the junior varsity. You play in the JV. We pushed the Dodgers to a six-game series. How many games did you go?
I gave him a chance to talk now. Go ahead, Gary.
Go ahead, sir.
We still went to the World Series. When's the last time you've been there?
You play at least the junior varsity.
Come on.
JV, who'd you beat?
Oh, my God. You can't even win the division.
Name six players combined on Cleveland and Kansas City. And you can't say George Brett. Go ahead. Go.
No.
Yeah. No, yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. We're going to have to end this. This was
he had nothing. He's just one of these guys that comes on. We're big brother, and then he has nothing else to say. All right. Then prove it.
I don't think winning a crappy league matters. It really doesn't.
Well, they play in the junior varsity.
I agree, but it doesn't matter.
Sure does, based on his argument, it does.
No, it doesn't. Would you rather go to the World Series or not?
Well, of course I'd rather go to the World Series.
So then would you rather be in a crappy league that the Yankees are in? I'd rather be in the American League.
But the facts are, the American League is the JV, the National League is the varsity, and the Mets push the Dodgers to six games.
I know, but it doesn't matter.
Based on his argument, that's all.
Did you laugh at the Yankees every time they lost to the Astros or the Red Sox in 04?
Yes.
Okay. Did the Yankee fans ever call up and go, it's harder to play in our league? No, that's a stupid argument, Tommy.
No, I mean, it's true. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. The American League is really weak. It's why yesterday there was this little debate publicly.
You guys have over-exaggerated how weak the American League is. You guys are very close to pushing me over.
We could have that argument, but not right now, because that's not the point.
I don't want to have that argument right now.
That's not even the point, though. I'll have the argument with you. But Juan Soto and Aaron Judge kind of had a public disagreement yesterday, where Juan Soto had said, hey, I think the Mets have a better chance to win. Aaron Judge is asked about it. He says, I disagree with him. The Mets may be better than the Yankees, roster-wise, if you really want to break it down and get into the weeds.
Sure,
but the Yankees do have a better chance to win. Judge is right, because of the league they're in. They're not dealing with the Dodgers and the Phillies and the Braves and the Padres. I'm sorry, the Astros and the Guardians and even the improved Red Sox, where everybody hates each other. Like,
it's really the Dodgers. Let's stop with the Phillies.
I think the Phillies are loaded, bro. I completely disagree with you.
No, I think the Phillies are really good.
Their lineup, their rotation. I think the Phillies are loaded. I think the Braves are loaded. They won 89 games last year despite being ravaged by injuries.
Evan, I am not saying that those teams aren't great teams. All I'm saying is, if you're using the argument against the Yankees, if you put the Yankees in a league with their two best teams for the Braves and Phillies, the Yankees are the favorite.
No, they're not. I disagree.
Okay. I think the Braves,
well, there's no right or wrong on this, because
sure
we're just speculating our opinions on this upcoming season. I think the Phillies and the Braves are better. Now, the good news is, you shouldn't be offended by that. It doesn't matter. They're in different leagues.
It doesn't.
Who cares if they're better? But they are.
I need to
ask. You know what I mean? Like, they are, but it doesn't matter. Does that make you feel better?
No, I agree. But I could just tell you guys got to pick at the scabble here. Tommy?
I'm defending you. I'm telling Tommy, while I agree with your point, we do agree, it's not like a good argument against them, because I'd rather be in a crappy league where I have a better chance to win.
Now, I consider myself a man of the people, and Tommy's clearly not. I didn't like something he did to Gary. So I'm going to ask you right now. You have 30 seconds. Name six Atlanta Braves. Go.
Six Atlanta Braves? I'd
rather not.
I'd rather not.
Then don't do that to our callers, damn it.
You're lecturing Tommy? 2 days ago.
Uh-huh. Sean Acuna, Riley.
30 seconds is up.
Don't do it and stop
Albies.
It. Don't do it and stop at three.
Yeah. See?
There you go. Done.
All right. So, exactly. So, Gary, you're welcome.
Well, it's nice that you defended a caller.
Yeah.
You made a comment yesterday. I keep thinking about it. Was it yesterday? I'm sorry. It was 2 days ago, 3 days ago, whenever it was.
I can't remember any.
It was Friday. You got into a fight with a mailman because the mailman was upset with you for taking the L off.
Oh, that's right.
And you ended the argument by shut up and stick the mail in the box.
Yeah. Put the envelopes in the box. Don't come at my job. Go out there and put the mail in the box.
Chris Sale, Matt Olson.
Still on it?
Azuna.
You can't come back 3 minutes later.
Mark Lemke, of course. How could we forget him?
Google's powerful, Tommy.
We'll play a brand new game of Posted and Toasted coming up where we guess the old tweets of our fellow F-Fan coworkers. And back to your calls on Steve Cohen lecturing Met fans, the Yankees pursuing Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and a lot more.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
Now, I'm going to challenge Sean Moraz because usually Tiki plays the game and he likes multiple choice.
Okay.
I'm going to read you an old post of fellow F-Fan coworkers. And I don't think you need multiple choice. I think you should just flat out guess.
Oh, we're going to change the rules of the game.
Well, I think that you don't need it, to be quite frank with you. I think you know a lot of these people very well.
Okay.
And I just don't think it's necessary.
So I'm into it. I just want to make sure we're sticking to kind of the main names we've heard throughout this
Correct.
Game.
We are going to stick with the full-time FAN employees. So, for example, it would include Keith McPherson.
Okay.
Chris Big Mac McMonagle.
All right.
Al Dukes.
All right.
Jerry Recco.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Giannotti.
Got it.
Boomer Esiason. Brandon Tierney.
I know.
Sal Licata.
I know the schedule.
Evan Roberts. Okay. Sean Morash. Tiki Barber. Tommy Lugauer.
Got it.
How many did I just name? That's a lot of people. 12 people?
12 or so.
A lot of old people.
Are you ready?
Yes.
July 31st, 2021. Maybe one day Javier Baez can teach Francisco Lindor how to play in New York.
Ooh.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I'm going to go with Sal.
Salicata.
You are correct. Salicata. Look at you.
No multiple choice needed.
Look at you. He wasn't alone. There was a time where we viewed Baez as the safer guy than Lindor, even though Lindor had already signed the mega contract.
Yeah. Well, Baez.
Baez was great as a Met.
You like, forget, too, more of a history of Lindor winning and stuff. So.
What do you mean? Oh, because he was on the Cubs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he was on the team that happened to win the seven-game series.
Yeah, I mean, he was in a locker room that won. That means something.
All I would say is that Baez, when he was a Met for that brief period of time, played really well. Like, we think of the thumbs down, but look at his numbers. He put up some of the best baseball of his career in the brief time he was a Met.
Sometimes you have Baez remorse. See, I'm muted.
What are you following in his
role? Well, I'm him. I'm
that
really...
That was really good.
I'm technically in his role, so I got to give a little bit of the mirage.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go to February.
I like that.
February 14th, 2014. Very simple, to the point.
All right.
Charging for extra pickles? Damn you, diner.
What year?
That would be 2014. Charging for extra pickles? Damn you, diner.
Okay. 2014.
Give me your thinking. What are you thinking?
So it's not creative enough to be an Al tweet, though it's a thought Al would have.
Okay. But it's not creative. Well, Al would be more creative with how he phrased it.
Al would find a better way to phrase that. So this is very blunt, to the point. Somebody just firing off their thoughts in 2014. They'd also happen to like pickles. I'm going to go with Jerry Recco.
You're wrong.
Not Jerry Recco. I thought you were thinking along the lines of, is it a larger person or a skinnier person?
No, because I think... Well, you forget the pickles are usually right on a diner table to begin with.
I'll give you one more guess.
All right. Damn you, diner. Is it BT?
I was wrong. Nailed it. Brandon Tierney. How about that?
I can see that being a frustrated BT take.
That's a frustrated BT take. All right. How about this one? Our third one from May 29th, 2011. This, by the way, before I read it, sounds like something you would put on it on like a dating profile. At least it starts that way, and then it veers off into a sports opinion.
2011, we're talking Memorial Day weekend. Okay?
May 29th, 2011, yes. I have a wide range and eclectic sports tastes. Late night poker on TV, old WWF footage, even bowling. But auto racing, I just don't get it. Hashtag circles.
Okay. Ooh, this one's tough.
Yeah, give you a good one.
Very tough. So you'd have to be interested at some point to watch poker and bowling on TV.
Mm.
Where I feel like Evan might have at one point cared, but he doesn't really strike me as a poker guy. So I'm going to swade away from Evan here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Gio.
You're wrong.
It is not Greg Giannotti.
Is it you?
The answer?
You're wrong.
Is Brandon Tierney.
You guys are asses.
I gave you back-to-back BT.
That threw me for a loop. It did throw me for a loop.
Thrown for a loop. And finally, our last one. This is from May 2nd, 2015. The women of Las Vegas love two things: push-up bras and tattoos. And everything here smells like pot. Again, the women of Las Vegas love two things: push-up bras and tattoos. And everything here smells like pot.
Oh. All right, here's the thing. This screams Al tweet. But would Al ever leave his job in the spring book in May and then travel to Vegas?
That's a great question. You're right. It's early May of 2015.
Early May of 2015. This screams.
So this isn't a Super Bowl. This isn't like a vacation time. This is early May of 2015.
Early May of 2015 in Vegas might have been a big fight. Gio.
You're wrong.
Why are you smirking?
I'm just laughing. I'm laughing at the tweet. Because
is it still Al? Was Al
a nice round?
It was Al.
Ass.
It was Al.
They were, Boomer and Carton were out there for Pac-Man and Mayweather.
I nailed the I was close, and I hit the Al.
I was Al Dukes. He's kind of right, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, push-up bras, 1,000%. There are tattoos all over the place, no question.
And it's also all the show girls, like the people that do, take a picture with me. You going to tip me more? Those girls. You know, I once tipped a girl, I asked her how she ended up there. My last trip to Vegas, I said, sweetheart, look, I'm not looking for the picture. I had a couple of years. I go, I just got to know, how in life did you end up doing this?
And what'd she say?
I grew up rough childhood in Colorado.
Oh, God.
Then I felt horrible.
Did you go deeper and, like, talk about the rough childhood, or did you let it go?
No, I threw a 50, and I got the hell out of there. And went to
love you.
Check. Bye.
It's funny. I've searched Vegas through a lot of our coworkers just to see what I could find, and the one constant I see is that Tommy Lugauer.
Yes.
Loves Las Vegas.
It loves me back, too.
Like, you have tweeted more about Vegas
yes.
than any other thing, subject, or person in your social media history. And I'm not saying this as a negative thing or even a positive thing. It's more just a factual thing. Like, you love Vegas.
What's not to love?
Yeah.
I would agree with some of what Al said there. I don't smell a lot of marijuana when I go there, but they do have, you know, dispensaries. But, yeah. It's undefeated.
I've been with Tommy to Vegas.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Does he go crazy when he's out there?
I mean, he thinks he goes crazy, but he's very tame. Yeah, I can tell you this. When guys like me and Tommy show up to Vegas, we are the classic meme of we think we're the coolest guys there, and you get there, and we are losers.
Right.
You know, pathetic.
Do you agree with that opinion?
I don't. I don't want to air everything, but let's just say that me and Sean got into a situation down there, not together, but with a couple gals.
Oh, really?
Sean, he was married, but he did me a solid.
I helped him out.
Look at that.
I helped him out.
And the friend was, so you did me a real solid.
Jeez, that's
no, no,
nice.
I mean, she's not listening.
See the show we grew up, Rocco's Modern Life?
Yes, I did, yes.
Okay, there's a character in there, Heifer.
Yeah.
The girl Tommy had me talk to get her away from the girl.
You guys are very disrespectful.
No, it's not. It's just being accurate.
Dude, we report you to Robert Gallery. Yeah. I mean.
Hey, God, you make it worse. Vegas is a very cool place, Tommy. I'm not anti-Vegas. My opinion on it is that after about, I'd say my cutoff is less than it ever has been, but I'd say after 2 days, it is just plastic fake, and I got
to
leave.
Oh, I disagree with you. If you go to Vegas, you have to go bare minimum 5 days.
No, 5 days?
No.
5 days, yes.
Really? No.
To get the full experience?
Well, what's the full experience? Like, it's gambling, it's eating nice food and drinking. Like, isn't that the experience?
No.
What else? What am I missing?
You have nightclubs. You have pool parties. You have, let's be honest, I know this is a kid program. Jed, cover your ears.
His ears are covered. Don't worry.
There are strip clubs and there are other.
3 days tops.
No.
Three days tops.
Bro, you have to fly 6.5 hours to get out there. So 12 and a half hours of traveling.
Tommy, I just did this on our show last year. I didn't miss a show. I left after the show Friday. I was back here by
morning. And I did it too.
And I did
it
a
year.
Time.
I did it a year earlier when I was still doing the show with Craig, where me and my wife went out. We saw. What's her name? Adele.
You went to Adele.
And you know what? Here's the problem I have. So I have my stories from Vegas. They're not clearly as appealing as yours because they just involve gambling. They don't involve anything else. But I had a night with friends of mine where I was at the same table for 12 hours. It was amazing, right? Kept winning.
12 hours?
12 straight hours.
Wow.
I'll never forget the night. I had to drag my buddy to the plane because we literally had a plane taking off at 6 a.m.
Love it.
And it's 4 a.m. He's completely wasted. I'm doing all right. I'm like tipsy, but nothing crazy. But we kept winning. So we were at the same table for 12 hours. Amazing, by the way, Tommy. The bonding, just awesome. It was great. I go back a few years later, and I go in there with a plan. Like, look, I've already spent a lot of money to get out here.
Yeah.
I can't lose more than whatever the figure was. Let's say it's $500.
Sure.
I can't do more than that. Okay.
Yeah.
I sit down at a blackjack table.
Oh, no.
And within 12 minutes, I'm wiped out. Like, I literally lost every hand, and I was done. And I looked at my wife, because I went with my wife this time, and she was all excited, like, yeah, gamble, we'll have a good time. I looked at her, I was like, I just lost $500 in 5 minutes. I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I can't lose any. So
you got to go with the envelope technique.
On the night where I lasted at the same table for 12 hours, of course it was amazing. I still have great memories about it. But if you lose... We looked around afterwards like, what the hell are we supposed to do now?
Yeah.
I don't want to lose any more money.
So I should have prefaced this. I'm the kind of guy that could go to Vegas for 5 days and never step foot in the casino. I am there for the socializing, the partying, so I just party the entire time I'm there. I don't care about the gambling. The gambling is cool for some people. For me, I don't care. Mm. It doesn't do anything.
That's accurate for him. Very accurate.
That's where we're different then. Maybe that's my issue. I'm not drawn in by all those other things.
Yeah, the previous me. Obviously, now I'm not as young as I used to be, and I'm certainly married at this point.
But you were there like a year ago, weren't you? Aren't you going there in a few days?
I think I'm going for my 40th in August. All right, yeah. So I retract the last statement. I still like going there.
Going
and I still
back
like partying.
Again?
You want to come for my 40th? You're invited. Evan, you're not.
I'm sorry.
For your bank account, let's be honest.
I'm out.
Sean, you're in. You're in.
I got Lake George in August.
Oh, that sounds like a...
That's the Vegas of upstate.
Do you bring your wife to something like this?
For something like that, no.
Birthday without his wife.
Right, let's get back to your phone calls. 888-808-1019. Jody is in Warren, New Jersey. What's up, Jody?
Hey, guys. I don't understand the math, Evan, because if the Mets are averaging 28,000 a game, and you got, let's call it 81 home games, and everybody's, this is probably low, spending $150 a person, I think if I got that math right, that's $350 million right there. That's without outside merch and TV and playoffs. So I don't see it being a losing proposition for Uncle Stevie.
It is,
you know, and
it
I'm
is though. In 2023, which is not last year, it's a year earlier, I understand. According to, I think, I'm trying to remember the source here, but basically they operated at a loss of about $292 million. That was the highest operating loss reported by a Major League Baseball team since 2002.
Wow.
So despite what you're saying, they operated at a major loss. So that means when Cohen is deciding to spend, he's doing it by spending his own money.
I think a lot of people are just having a hard time understanding franchise value and liquid cash that an owner gets from said franchise.
Right, like if he sells the team tomorrow, sure, he can get a lot of it back. But in terms of what the Mets are bringing in and the profits they're bringing in, they operated at a loss last year. The Yankees did not. The Dodgers did not. The Dodgers, and Steve mentioned this in
not
his press conference.
Not bad for fans that don't show up till the fourth inning either.
Right. Well, but guess what? They're drawing 48,000 people every single night. So they could show up in the fifth inning. It doesn't matter if they're buying the tickets. And that's not the only reason. It's not just about ticket sales. The Mets are relying on ticket sales because they don't own their TV network. They don't own SNY. By the way, hi, SNY. Oh, we're not on yet. I guess we'll be on in 12 minutes. I forgot.
Three monitors, usual 3:48 when SNY joins us, Evan.
I get confused. Sometimes they join us early. I forget sometimes. But the Mets, or I should say Steve Cohen, doesn't own SNY. The Yankees own a portion of the YES Network.
Right.
So that's a huge amount of money that they don't bring in. Alex is calling from Dallas. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. Big fan. First time, long time.
Appreciate the call, man.
Welcome in, Alex.
Thanks. I just wanted to give a different perspective. So I live in Dallas, obviously. So obviously going to a game is way more than just buying a ticket and hopping in the car and paying $50 for parking. However, I do go to spring training every year. I'm going to 4 games this year. Actually, the weekend they drove me down there, Evan. Hope
nice.
I can see you.
Yes.
And I, you know, I have a buddy's bachelor party in Denver. We're going to the game at Coors Field, you know, and then the SNY thing this morning was another kick in the teeth because they announced us, hey, we can stream the games through SNY, but it's only for people that are in the SNY viewing market. So I just think it's a tough sell for the folks that are not in the New York metro region to say that, hey, we're not contributing to the overall funding of the team. And it's just a little frustrating.
So, the new streaming service, which I'm still trying to figure out around SNY that you talked about, is that it's connected with MLB. So if you're not living in the local market like our last caller, you can buy MLB's MLB.TV package and the Mets are included. And you have no issues because there's no blackout restrictions. You live in Dallas. For those of us in New York, if you buy the MLB package, the Mets and the Yankees are blacked out. You can now have an add-on when you buy the MLB package, which is SNY.
So and when you buy that SNY package, it goes to your MLB.com.
That is my understanding, yeah, which I think is really convenient if you're one to watch the MLB package. If you already have a cable subscription or a streaming subscription that has SNY, then it's already included, which is very, very cool.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about this is, like, for example, if you buy the Gotham app, which now has the Knicks, the Nets, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils, and the Yankees, you have a Gotham app. You can watch the Yankees. But it's not connected to MLB.TV.
No, it's a pain in the butt. They still got to
figure it out. So it becomes kind of inconvenient. I guess that's the perk of this new SNY deal. But you are contributing. I think anything you purchase to Major League Baseball to see your team, I mean, it's a small amount, but it's a small amount for all of us. I have season tickets. It's a small amount. Trust me. Yeah. I could spend a lot of money and ain't contributing that much to Steve Cohen. I think when you add all of it up, that's when it becomes a greater amount.
And if I'm Alex in Dallas or any transplant that still listens to us free in the RCF, thank you. Steve's not talking to you. He's talking about the local New Yorker here that's a Met fan that can afford, well, can't afford, has the ability to get to multiple games a year.
You guys think I have a short memory. You guys thought I forgot. But about, let's say, 3 weeks ago, we had a conversation here on the radio in which we were talking about all these awful sports ideas.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember this? Remember this conversation? It's about all these terrible ideas that we all have for sports fans. I forget the origination of it. And Sean suggested, you know what, we should have a whole day where we talk about bad sports ideas. Do you remember the date you pulled up in the calendar?
February 8th. Is it today, 18th?
February 18th is today.
That's right. I wanted a week after the Super Bowl.
Is that what you figured out?
Yeah.
And you pulled this audio, so you have it?
Oh, yes. In the general.
Now you got to advise Rosie.
Our general, there's a date. There should be a couple down.
Yeah, a couple down.
Bad ideas day, something like that. Oh, you got it. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go back 3 weeks ago to hear how this date, February 18th, became a thing for all of us. All right, so should we do that once a year, bad idea day?
I like it. Tuesday, February 18th.
Tuesday, February, what, are you off that day or something?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm here.
He's not only here, he's filling in for Tiki.
Tiki's off.
Tiki's off. Tiki realized. He's like, I don't want to be a part of Bad Idea Tuesday. So what I will say is I have compiled some other bad sports ideas.
Okay.
And over the course of the next few hours, we will sprinkle them out for you. We will honor Bad Idea Tuesday with some random bad sports ideas. I want you guys to compile lists as well. And just throughout the program, we'll sprinkle in bad ideas. Because one thing we realized when we all went home that night was probably not a good idea to do an entire show of bad ideas.
Yeah.
That was a bad idea. So we decided to just sprinkle it in a little bit. So we'll give you some bad ideas as the show rolls on. We'll also talk some basketball coming up in a few minutes. CP the franchise.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here.
If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.